Anyone can walk down hill to see my own. Tell lies and so right. You'll have to pardon me for playing. I haven't played for 2 days. It's remarkable. Only 2 days, and it feels like I've never played in my life, or written a song, or sung a song. 2 days, and you're back to that type of fresh emptiness. Fresh emptiness.
Oh, yes, my friends. It's the Sharon Sleeve Show.
Take my hat, take my coat, take my gloves, I'll take a cup. Take my money, but I'm begging, please don't take my suit. Take my house, take my clothes, take my wife, lighten up my load. Take my feet, you can take my toes, but please don't take my suit.
From the downtowniest part of New York City, the city that never sleeps, the city that never weeps, the city where nothing keeps. Coming to you live on WCJD 90.2, New York. I atop the Empire State Building.
I said it, no one told me well. I was in love, I said they told me what they said is best, but it didn't look good back over me. I don't even say, come on, flash your blue, I'll come to you, so come by. Yeah. Honestly, I do sometimes go up here. My little radio booth room. My little radio booth room, which is exactly that, a little radio booth room. It's a little taller than me, a little wider than me. It's basically a box for a human being. If they were going to ship me around the world, it would be in this exact box. And there's a small window. I can look out. And see the bright noonday sun beating down upon me. And there's 8 p.m. But this is the new time. This is the new Radio Ghost time, 8 o'clock. And we're going to go for exactly 1 hour. And there's a good reason for that. And I'm always a great fan of good reasons. Usually I don't have them. Usually I only have bad reasons. And I provide them, of course. Because if you don't have good reasons, you do have to forward your bad reasons, like bad cards that you must get rid of. So I'm full of discard reasons. Usually when you have bad reasons, you have a lot of them. You don't just have one simple, rotten reason, but a whole laundry list. And you hope that in just the mass, the sheer masses of rotten reasons, that you'll achieve something. You see, I have so many of these terrible reasons. That's why. But we do have a good reason for at least practicing stopping at 9. As next week, next Wednesday night at 9, a new program will begin right here on The Clutch and Wiggle Entertainment. Did I say entertainment right, or did I make it sound like Entenmann's, the muffin company? Clutch and Wiggle, Entenmann's Muffin Company Entertainment Radio Network. The new show is called Shoot to Thrill with Vinnie Paulino. Shoot to Thrill with Vinnie Paulino. And that'll begin next week at 9 p.m., right after the radio goes, I'm going to have to watch and really time it well. Otherwise, Vinnie Paulino's first thrill shot will be me. And it'll take me out. And I'll be singing It's Tired and Late, and there Vinnie Paulino will be. Shoot to Thrill with Vinnie Paulino. It's an attractive sounding radio program, exciting. I feel as though great money will be won and lost during the course of the show. Dice will be rolled, cards played, fortunes made and lost. All overseen by Vinnie Paulino and his great big thumbs. Now, does he have big thumbs? I don't know. But I hope so. So this evening we're going to practice ending at 9 p.m. or 8:58 and 37 seconds. Which is about the time I imagine Vinnie Paulino and his big thumbs will come blundering along to push me out of the way and begin his card game radio program. No, it's not a card game. Or it could be a card game radio program. It's likely not. It just sounds like it. I'm just guessing. You want to call me? The Skype is on. Radio ghosting on Skype. If you don't want to call me, you don't have to call me. Mostly there are no calls. It's a very underutilized option. But I don't mind. I don't mind. Especially in these windy, windy times. Now this evening, on this evening's show, we have two bits from Sean. And we are fortunate to have him here with us tonight. Do you want to speak now, or you want to wait until your parts come up and then chime in?
Oh, I could speak now.
Right, well, you can. You want to talk about anything or just acknowledge the fact that it is possible for you to speak?
Well, why don't I just do my thing before whatever bit you play, and then I'll set it up or something, rather than. I don't have anything else. I'm really tired.
That's right. Before we begin every show, when he's here, the first thing he tells me is, "Oh, I'm very tired. Oh, I'm so tired." And then, for one moment, he appears to fall sound asleep right before my very eyes. This is an example of a rotten reason. He only has one of them, too. I'm so tired, I don't know if I can do it. Don't ask me any questions. I'll just press the buttons. You know it's not a good reason. I'm more tired. I've always been more tired than everyone I know. I'm the most tired person I know. Exhausted. I don't know why. I sleep 9 or 12 hours a night. Usually. And yet I wake up in the morning actually crestfallen, sometimes angry. What happened? I've been sleeping all these hours and it hasn't come to anything. It's like filling the gas tank and it never fills up. In fact, it's empty. You look below the car, where's the gasoline gone? Where is my restful sleep gone? I presented myself to it. I laid down in it. I bathed in it. I sank into it. I dissolved and disappeared. All with the best of intentions. And then I wake in the morning. My eyes open up. I almost remember who I am. But before I even remember who I am, I realize I am not well slept. What happened? What happened to me? I don't even know what being well slept is anymore, so I sometimes think maybe I am well slept. I pretend. And then I have to contend with this one, who's always so tired. I'm so tired. And he falls asleep. 2 times I tried to take photographs of him. I had my camera ready because I knew he was going to say, I'm so tired, and then fall asleep. And I tried to quickly turn the camera and take a picture of him pretending to fall asleep just so he could see. Just to see how ridiculous. Anyway, what can you do about your number 2s or your number 11s? That's how they are. They don't have wheels, there's no key to start them. They're just like rabbits. They come tiny galloping up into the garden, they nibble at the weeds, and then they remain permanently startled, and then they go back into the forest. So this evening we have 2 of Sean's short bits, very short this time. He put together the piece on John Herman, who almost went to space. Why don't you tell them about that? That's at least something you have, despite your great fatigue. And maybe before you start it, you can, just for a moment, just so I can see it, pretend to fall asleep, and then you can tell them. Maybe that will help you.
All right, so now, if you can imagine, I'm now, my eyes are closed, my head is tipped to a side, my mouth is slowly open. Did you just take a picture of me? Oh, now I feel dumb. So he just took a picture of me. Even after telling me that whole bit about taking the picture, I still fall for it. So the story with the John Herman piece was, it's hard with this wind. Makes it sound like it's a story about tornadoes, but it's not. So I was going to be, I did do a story on John Herman for New Hampshire Public Radio on his really very special achievement of becoming the final 5 of this contest sponsored by the Seattle Space Needle. And they were celebrating the 50th anniversary of the space race and the 50th anniversary of the Space Needle being built. And the competition that they had was this national competition to send one person into space. And they had like 50,000 people entered. And John, who is this incredibly lucky person, he's lucky, but he's also really talented. And he enters a lot of contests that require both. So there's usually some talent part where you have to write something or do a video or create something. And then usually you have to be a little lucky. I mean, to get from the 50,000 people mark to the 1,000 people mark, I think it was, I don't know, it sounded like it was that was the lucky part. And then from 1,000 to 5, that was the skill part. So we did the story, went out and met with him and his wife and talked to him, his wife and a friend. And the first day of the final 5 competition, John was eliminated. There was a 3-day competition held out in Seattle. And he didn't make the cut. And then he went on Facebook and he posted, you know, that he was very sorry, you know, he had a heavy heart. He was very sorry to say that he hadn't made the cut. And my news producer at NHPR saw that and canceled the story because he was already out. And the whole story was like he's about to go into space. So it was more like I was sort of sad because we didn't get to play the story, and I don't know. I've wanted to do a story on John for a while because I find him to be a really interesting person. And I think this is like the third story we tried to do on him, he and I. He went to China or Japan on an improv comedy tour, which was completely bizarre. I wanted to do a story about that, and it didn't quite work out. So this is like our third story that didn't quite work out. And anyway, so that's the story. This never aired on NHPR. It was written, and I was just about to record the audio, and they were going to play it. They were going to play it that night. So it was like 3 hours, 4 hours before they were going to play it. Facebook. I blame Facebook. It's not John's fault. It's just Facebook. Facebook killed the story. Facebook killed the radio star.
All right, so why don't should we play it then? After all that long setup. That setup was longer than the story.
Yeah. Sometimes the setups are longer than the story. That's true. So yeah, I'll hit the button here. So here's, actually I had Sherwin do the introduction, the formal introduction that would have been read by the NHPR news host.
To celebrate its 50th anniversary, the Seattle Space Needle held a national contest with a singular prize, a trip to space. From 50,000 original entries, it's come down to the final five, including one of our own, John Herman from Newmarket. Mr. Sean Hurley has this story.
John Herman likes projects. In the past few months, the 34-year-old high school English teacher has directed 9 plays, hosted the Seacoast Spotlight Awards, given talks on social media, and emceed his weekly game show on Google+, where he's been ranked just above Michael Dell in terms of influence. As John's wife Danielle says, he likes to bring people together.
He's like a politician in the world of art. He gives direction to people that really want to do something. There's a lot of people out there who are looking for a leader, looking for somebody to inspire them. John's kind of that for the art world, I guess.
According to his friend Matt Carano, John is also very, very good at winning things.
You're aware of, but he won all the furniture in this room. And I think he did it by creating kind of a cute little film. So he seems to use his writing and his filmmaking kind of creative skill set to enter these competitions and then just clean house with it. It's crazy. Yeah. Oh, that's the other one. Yeah, he won a car, right? Who does that?
And he's getting extremely close to winning his biggest and oddest prize yet.
There was an ad that said, win a trip to space. And it was very Blade Runner-like or very Total Recall. But Buzz Aldrin was involved and the Seattle Space Needle was involved for their 50th anniversary. So I put my name in and I put my email address and didn't hear anything for months. And then I got an email, months later saying that the first cut has been made from 50,000 initial entries down to 1,000. And that those people are now invited to make a video explaining why they should go to space.
By popular vote, John's video earned him a place in the final five. This past Sunday, the five were flown to Seattle to compete in a 3-day elimination-style tournament with a fairly grand prize.
This is not some jet that flies really high and you're weightless, which is what people have asked me. Is it one of those jets that, there's a bunch of people floating around? No, this is a rocket with a capsule. And it looks like an old Apollo mission capsule. Like, it's a little terrifying in a way.
Danielle agrees.
He claims that his bigger fear is that if he doesn't actually make it to space because he feels like he's got so many people rooting for him. My bigger fear is definitely that he'll make it and then we'll have to have the conversation about getting better life insurance and really if he wants to go.
John's friend Matt directs our attention to more fears.
John does have several fears that he would tell you, but fear of heights is one, but also he has a kind of a fear of water too. He doesn't like to swim. And the funny part of the space thing is you got, of course, you're being sent up in a rocket very high, and then he's the way you enter back into, it's a splashdown. So he has to kind of confront both of those fears with this whole space thing. But that's another part of John is that he's really good at accepting his fears and confronting them.
He talks about this adventure in justifying it to me a lot about, well, I want to show my son that, you know, anything is possible. You just have to put your mind to it.
It's kind of undeniable. Like, it's space. It's just one of those great, unattainable things. Like, humanity, every night of our lives, space is above us, like, taunting us. And the chance to be one of those rare people that might, you know, get to high-five space just for a moment, it just seems like undeniable. Like, I'd have to try for it.
Yeah, he's like on an astronaut kick, you know, like he's training to actually get to space and to be able to physically and cognitively perform well.
He even resembles an astronaut now, with his scalp-hugging Neil Armstrong hairstyle and a ship captain's look in his eyes, as though the most important things were at the very edge of vision.
I'm a liberal arts guy. I kind of knew in my heart that I was never going to write a good enough poem that would get me to space. So it's not like I've been working all this time to get to space. But it turns out I might have written a good enough poem to go to space, you know, metaphorically.
Which, for a liberal arts guy, cuts both ways. Even if he doesn't get to literally rocket into space, perhaps he already, metaphorically, has. For the Radio Ghost, I'm Sean Hurley.
So yes, Paul was just noting that now you're an official Radio Ghost correspondent. That's actually very sneaky, because I didn't tell him to do that. He just did it. He stuck himself in there. Now, do you think is that above 11th Mike, or is this a different change of state? Are you trying to tell me something? What is that?
I just thought it would be kind of funny, I guess. Maybe we could do, you know, if there are other stories that fail to get to air for whatever reason.
So your cast-offs, any failure stories that don't quite make it, we'll just put them on here, and you say, for the Radio Ghost, and that you think that's good enough.
Well, I don't, I mean, the stories won't, hopefully they won't be canceled because they're not good stories, or, you know, like they listen to it and say, you know what, this is really quite poor. Maybe you could try an internet radio show and maybe they'd play it. So it's not like that. It's more maybe events will arise, like with this story, that make the playing of the story no longer as valid as it might be. I mean, I spent a little time with the news director trying to figure out what are we going to do about this? You know, and I tried to write some new paragraphs at the end. You know, like, unfortunately, John did not make it. He was just today, just moments ago. But it just didn't quite work, because this whole story was so, you know, getting us set up to think about him possibly winning this thing. My big thing was, and I kept pushing this to no avail, was let's pretend we don't know that this happened and just play the story tonight. But you know, this is a legit, you know, that's me. That's why I'm not running, for governor or running New Hampshire Public Radio, because my decisions aren't terribly wise. I like to get this stuff out there, you know, Facebook or not. I think there was something else. Oh, you know, I have known John, you know, since he directed your play. And I did some of the, I helped make some of the set and collected some of the pieces. So I worked with John and I got to know him then and for the second play as well. John was the director. And the amazing thing, John has always been, you know, in a pretty good shape. But he's always looked kind of theatrical. Like he sort of has like, he used to have like theatrical hair and he might sort of wear a trench coat or a scarf. He looked like a theater guy to me, or an artist of some kind. But when I went to interview him a few weeks ago, whenever it was, he looked so remarkably different. Maybe it's the actor part of him, the chameleon-esque transformative part, but he had been training with a physical trainer, for 2 months, really hard training, gym trainings where he'd just end up vomiting, that kind of like, sort of like Hollywood training, you know, like if Matt Damon wants to, you know, get in shape or something like that really quickly. His diet had completely changed. He was eating all sorts of strange, get ready to launch into space foods. And his hair had gotten completely cut close, very closely cropped hair, where before he had this very pretty kind of wavy, almost like Tintin hair, but not blonde. And now he looked like this, like just would have looked totally fine in any of those, like the Apollo missions he was mentioning. He somehow became an astronaut, and that made me, somehow seeing him like that, I was like, he has to go, because he looks like such an astronaut. It can't be avoided. It's inescapable. So I didn't even think to tell him not to post anything on Facebook or announce that he'd won or lost. So, sorry about that, John. That's probably should have been my job, reality guider. I should have been the reality guider, but I wasn't.
So, that's very nice. Thank you for that contribution, the newest feature, which may never be refeatured again, a New Hampshire Public Radio style story, which makes this program feel newsworthy. We're newsmakers now, you and I. We make news, especially when it's unmakeable. We make the news that almost was. And then we talk about it for a long time. Or you do, and I listen. What else is there? Some of you may know, I'm a great fan of Bonnie Prince Billy. The enigmatic Bonnie Prince Billy. And I was just listening to one of his songs the other day, and I thought, why don't I play a nice Bonnie Prince Billy song for the next Radio Ghost during one of the 60 minutes I have available? So let's listen to a Bonnie Prince Billy. I'll check in on the chat. If you have any questions, you want to type them in the chat, I'll answer them. Just off the top of my head, from the very top, the very tip top of my head, where all the smart pieces of mind are gathered together, conference of all my best intelligences up there. That's where I'll send the question, and the answer will come out. Bonnie Prince Billy, 3 questions.
Say I found a piece of rock and put it in my pocket, and for the day that we are wed, I put it in a locket, which is to hang around your neck as long as you see fit. love, do you think that you wear it? And on a day threatens that the earth might open up, the birds have stopped their singing and the insects have shut up, and all that's left between us is somehow undeniably light. Oh, would you split it with me, baby, so that I wouldn't die? Will I answer? Will I ever, ever answer? Will I play my next move on words with friends with Nola?
And after all these things is a question I must ask. When everyone has called me out and said I am the worst, and asked for voices on my side, my love, would you sing first? Would you say he's okay? He's better than the rest. He's innocent in God's eyes and in mine. He is the best.
Now that's a song that I listen to quite a lot. Not every single day at 10 o'clock on the dot, but I've probably listened to it 30 or 40 times, enough so that I should know the words, and I do not, and I apologize, so I sing along and am constantly correcting my wrong words. I swerve this way and that, have to correct around. And there must be a word for that. There must be a word for such singers. I know Christina is often consulting the Dictionary of Inconsolable Questions, the Dictionary of Dissolved Beliefs. But it has, she's always posting the most obscure and beautiful. They seem like neologisms that might not. Obscure sorrows, that's it. The Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows. And I feel there might be a word for that. For being absolutely familiar with a song and caring for it very deeply, knowing the words, but then when one begins to sing along with it, one gets carried away into a fictional story and begins inventing one's own lyrics, I suppose. It's like I'm trying to drag it away from itself and bring it over to where I am. I want to sing, and then we go off to the farm and ride out on the horse. And that's not it at all. But that's what I'm thinking in my mind. I'm going out to the farm and I'm going out on those horses. And then it's not that. Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows. It's very difficult to look up the meanings of things. But you want to find the word, and you have the meaning. So the meaning is this kind of, it's almost selfish singing. Selfish singing. You're trying to topple over the original lyricist, push him in the mud, kick sand in his face and say, you should have sung this. But that's not how I feel. It's more that I get carried away by the mood, and the mood sets up a movie in my mind, and then I sing along to that movie, and then every once in a while I'm reminded the movie is behind me and I'm watching the wrong screen. I turn around, and Bonnie Prince Billy's movie is remarkably beautiful. And I wonder, why am I watching, why am I doing my thing? Why don't I just sing what he's already done the work. He already knows the story. He's already discovered the truth. What am I doing? Obscure sorrows. It could be Charmony. Charmony. Oh, it could be my very own syndrome. Maybe I'm the only one. We should all have our own syndrome. And by the end of our lives, we should be able to diagnose ourselves with it. So at the end I'll say, yes, it is true, I do have Sherwin's leaf syndrome, and it involves this and this and singing, and I tried to steal the meaning and story of a song and take it where I like. It's criminal, but it's Sherwin's leaf syndrome, and I've got and have had a very bad case of it my entire life. So what's your syndrome? Syndrome sounds like something plastic, like it can't actually contain the organic matter of one's psychology. Like something like maybe that an automobile or a robot could come down to the syndrome. It has a syndrome, like the programming is jamming together. One part is saying do this, the other part is saying that. And all these sands I live today, I wouldn't be the same. It wasn't no one. It's getting dark out. That's a good sign. I also must say, I am incredibly, incredibly warm. Incredibly warm. Very warm here in my mailable box. My radio mailable box. I wish I could mail it around. Do radio programs around the world and everyone would know. Somewhere out on the highway, there's a great big box with a radio station inside and a very old man who's very warm, who suffers from a terrible case of Sherwin's leaf syndrome, sitting there waiting to broadcast from his next location. Paul Potts has propulsive confessive disorder. That may be true. Paul will tell you what it is that may not be going right. What else do we have here? We have 17 minutes left. 17 minutes. We should do the other Sean bit. So I did tell Sean not about the... I didn't know he was going to even do the John Herman. He told me he was. I didn't think he would, though, because it takes some effort to put things like that together. I knew he hadn't. He had that feeling of, oh, it didn't quite come off. They didn't play it. I thought he was going to abandon it, but then he did it, so... Originally I'd asked him just to put together a short piece. A short piece. Under 10 minutes. If it was over 10 minutes, I didn't want him to show up. But he managed. He managed to do a very short piece. Something about an owl. I think it'd be something woke him in the middle of the night or something. I don't need to describe it much more, but... Do you want to describe it?
I'm not doing a very good job, am I?
Not so far. So far, I'd say not a good job. Do you want to start over?
I do. I was not asleep. It was late in the evening, though. And I was reading. And I'd opened up a window because it was sort of warm. And I heard this really, really weird owl sound. It had the hoot, the definite hoot of the owl, but then it had these other noises attached to it. Like there was these other birds tied to the owl, and when it, that's sort of what I imagined. I didn't say that while I was in this little piece, but so I went outside because I thought, wow, I really want to catch the sound of this weird owl, you know, whatever, tied to these other birds or whatever it is. So that was the point of it. And it's short. It's, you know, just a few minutes relative to like my 40-minute running piece, which in retrospect was much too long. And so you don't even have to say it, that it was too long.
I won't say it. I know that you know it. Every time I see him, he tells me, I know that was too long. As though I'm about to bring it up again. I've never brought it up once. He brings it up. It's like surrendering. He comes toward me. I know, I know, I know. You don't even have to say. With 40 minutes about running, I'm sorry, I'll never happen again. And I've forgotten all about it. I don't think about it like I'm waiting, thinking about it, dwelling. Why does he do these 40-minute pieces? It's tearing me up inside. I have to talk to him and convince him not to ever do that again. Does he understand what he's doing to me? No, I never thought about it one moment after it played. It just confirmed my sense of you as fairly confused and unable to follow instructions. That's all. It didn't go anywhere else than that. So, let's listen, Sean and the owl tied to the birds story.
I thought I heard an owl, so I came out. In the dark, dark night. It's a pretty starry night, and there's a little glittering, blinky plane going above me. It's red and white, perfectly quiet. The plane is... I also like how, even though the plane is much closer, that the stars are still brighter. I guess you can hear the plane now. It's like it's dragging its reluctant roar slowly after it. You always get a sense of length with the sound of an airplane. As though it's dragging 2 miles of its sound behind it. This kind of roar that you can't see that follows it along, it's always following it. I wish that was a colored sound, like purple. Or I guess in the daytime you wouldn't really be able to see it. Red, maybe, or yellow, or just clouds. Just be nice to see how long the sound roar was. Does that make sense? It's almost like the... If it were analogous visually, the plane would be a long stretchy blur of lights and plainness. It wouldn't exactly be in one spot. It would just be the blur of itself in the sky, pushing along. And within that blur, I suppose you'd think it was at the front of the blur, but maybe it was all through the blur. Does that make sense? So I came outside because I thought I heard an owl, and I thought it sounded like a freshly invented kind of owl, like it's a hoot, whistle, caw, shriek, hoot, whistle, caw, shriek, hoot, whistle, caw, shriek. The owl call is just a very summoning. I think that's one of the reasons that people like owls, is the summoning quality of the hoot. It almost makes the owl feel like it's not really even a bird. Like it's cut a little bit away from the kingdom of birds and it's got its own separate classification. In the way that spiders have their own separate classification from insects. I guess owls and spiders suddenly seem to me very similar. Like they both occupy an almost the storyteller arm for their level of intelligence. So the spiders would be the storytellers of the insect world, and the owls would be the storyteller birds of maybe the small creature world, and they tell stories to the foxes and the other birds. Maybe dolphins would be the storytellers of the ocean. I don't know, I'd have to think about that. Sherwin asked me to do a short piece for the next Radio Ghost. He said, make it short, make it about nothing, because that's the new theme of the Radio Ghost. And I said, oh, you mean like Seinfeld? And he quickly looked at me, stared at me, and then returned to his little notebook. He was writing something, I don't know what. I always want to look at what he's writing, but that would be the equivalent of looking in the teacher's grade book. That's how private and not for me it seems. So now he knows what Seinfeld is, and he knows, you know, it was a show about nothing, or that whole kind of jokey setup. So that's it. No owl, just a jet. If I had to file a report on my reconnaissance mission, that's what I would have to scribble down. No new owl, just old jet. And then maybe in parentheses, starlight brighter than plain light.
The owl and the old pink moon both wait and fly away. The universe a paradise so small and large and bright. Where the owl goes flying. we all understand it like flying in tune.
And there it was. It was short, but it felt very long to me. It felt very long. I don't know why. Maybe it was the water or the plane so slowly traveling overhead. I kept looking at my watch, thinking, this is another 40 minutes now. It's only 4 minutes have passed. Oh, but I'm too hard on you, I know that. So thank two wonderful pieces by Radio Ghost correspondent Mr. Sean Hurley. I, of course, brought nothing to the program. I'll be honest about this. I must be honest. I did not think for a moment before the show began what the show would be about. Not a single moment. I knew that it would start at 8 or approximately, but I didn't have anything that I was bringing. I knew that Sean had one thing, maybe two. I wasn't sure, and I did bring the Bonnie Prince Billy, so that's the one thing. But I didn't, it's not really anything. To bring along a song, I don't know if that counts. But so it's very strange. In some ways I'm experimenting with the art of not preparing, if that can be an art. The fine art of not preparing. And there is something to be said for not preparing. I don't know if it makes for a much lesser show. It may. I don't mind if it does. It's just, as we like to say these days, what it is. We are stuck on this. What it is. It is what it is. And it, as a philosophical position, it's fine. And then we use it everywhere. It is what it is. The bike is what it is. What I just said is what it is. The joke is what it is. Everything is what it is. And then it loses its power. Because everything is what it is. And if you keep saying it, you no longer care. And you start believing it. Start seeing like, maybe it isn't. Maybe things aren't that. Maybe. And then you head back to the old place we were where it isn't what it isn't. I don't know if that makes sense. But so the new premise of this Radio Ghost program, as I carefully move towards 8:58 and we have to wind up, the new premise is I start at 8 o'clock without any idea of what I'm doing. Not a single word. And then my mouth gets closer to the microphone. The song begins to wind down. I could say boppity boppity bop. And then we're off. Where? I have no idea. It's astonishing to me. Because I feel utterly blank. The beginning of the show, utterly blank. Tabula rasa, as they say. It is what it is. So next week, don't forget, new program. What is it? Shoot to Thrill. With Vinnie Paulino, is that it? I have it written down. Shoot to Thrill with Vinnie Paulino. 9 o'clock next week. And we're going to have to be out on the button of Vinnie Paulino and his great big thumbs. Come pressing in. Pressing in with his great big thumbs. And thumbing us right out of the way. So that he may shoot that thrill. Well, it is tired and I am late. That seemed very quick to me. I don't know about you, but very quick indeed. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll talk to you next week, 8 o'clock, as prepared as we were this week, perhaps with a new segment from the Radio Ghost Correspondent, the mysterious Radio Ghost Correspondent. Well, my friends, thank you so much for joining me at this new time slot. Always merry and always bright. It's tired, I'm late. You're frozen fire.
turn out the day. Tomorrow we'll sleep through town, side every turn up, thing down. But now it's time to sleep. It's tired and I'm late. Untie your candles, well, I just lit the skates. We're sitting in sleep at light, come dreams that we're sleeping right. But now it's time to sleep.
Hit a ball now. Yeah, I told you about all them dreams I had. Now I lay down in the sea. In the moonlight, anytime I just won't get a surprise.
It's tired and I'm late. Your frozen fire turn out late. Tomorrow we'll sleep through town, side every turn up, thing down. But now it's time to sleep.